Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a guy who's scared spitless to see where this podcast is going to go. I am Rob Cesternino, back to talk about The Amazing Race 29, episode number 2. And with me again for the second time in 24 hours to talk a reality TV show, Jessica Leese. Jessica, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rob. It feels like just yesterday we were talking about Survivor.
I like that we went like a year almost and did no podcasts, and now let's just do one every day.
I could handle it. You know, I dare say we would have a ball.
Yes. And there will be some talk about that here tonight as the top story at this hour. Shamir and his testicles, hopefully are recovering well, are on the mend. We will need to discuss that quite a bit as we went through our Sao Paulo leg of the Amazing Race, Jess.
Indeed. I hope he's demonstrating a little more testicular fortitude than he was.
Yeah. Well, we can talk about that certainly tonight. I'm sure that will be a major topic of our conversation as we go through everything. So let's just before we go that, because that is like a Pandora's box that once we open that and start getting into that, then it'll be hard to get into anything else. So I'm going to put that aside for the time being. Okay. Just in terms of reactions to night 2 of season 29 of the Perfect Strangers season, Jess, as I said on yesterday's Survivor voicemail show, that is my adopted name for this season, the Amazing Race Perfect Strangers season. How are you feeling after the second night?
I'm enjoying this so much more than I thought I would. And, you know, season 26 should have taught me that I need to not be afraid that it's the end of the world whenever they mix up the format, because I clearly need to have a little bit more faith in my show.
Yeah, I think that this was also another fun episode.
Yeah, it seemed like, you know, it did get kind of a little bit of a slow start, and I did think the tasks were maybe a little meh, but I think, as we will discuss, the show more than made up for it with some really great character moments.
Yeah. Jess, how many times has the race been to Sao Paulo?
This may be the first time to Sao Paulo specifically. I couldn't remember off the top of my head if they've been there before. I mean, obviously they've been to Brazil a whole bunch of times. But, you know, the interior of Brazil doesn't get visited as much. Like, I know they've been to Fortaleza. They've been to Rio a bunch of times, obviously. They've been to Salvador de Bahia, but this might be the first time for Sao Paulo, and somebody's going to correct me on that immediately.
Sao Paulo was a pit stop for me on my way to Survivor of the Amazon. We went through Sao Paulo en route to Manaus before ultimately getting to the Amazon.
Did you leave the airport?
No, I did not. We actually had an experience where we were all on the plane, like we got to Sao Paulo, and then we met up with like some of the like production, like the top guys, like Mark Burnett and Jeff. Then they were all on our plane headed to Manaus, and like we were like on the runway ready to go, and they were like, this plane is defective. Everybody has to leave. We were like all ready to go and had some delays in Sao Paulo. I think they had a good, it was a McDonald's, I think, that we also enjoyed on the way back. So that's my experience with Sao Paulo, Jess. So I didn't have to clean any windows, and luckily my boys all came back okay from that.
Well, that's good to hear. I do know that the airports in Sao Paulo tend to be notoriously overcrowded, and for a while one of those airports was one of the most deadly airports in the world.
Oh my God, what do you mean? Like crashes?
Yeah, like crashes. There was a period of time, and it was around the time that I went to Brazil for the first time. So that was fun. And I had a layover in Sao Paulo and learned that it was the same airport where there had been two crashes like within a couple months of each other, because the runways were too short to accommodate the larger planes that were flying in.
Wow, that's pretty intense. Have they fixed that? Is that better now?
I think they've made a lot of improvements to the infrastructure, but I don't know if they like actively remodeled the entire thing. I mean, this was quite a few years ago at this point. This has got to be like 8 years at this point. So you would think they've addressed it, but I'm not sure. I was only in Sao Paulo in the airport for 20 minutes. Didn't even have time to go to the awesome McDonald's. So who knows?
All right, Jess. Our Swole Sisters are out. They are the second team eliminated from the race. They seemed like they were going to be so fun. They seemed like they were going to be so good. I guess they delivered. I guess they were fun. They were in good spirits. But why didn't this team ever click?
Well, Rob, I think it goes back to the thing we were talking about on the Survivor voicemails, actually. This was just down to bad luck. It seemed like they picked the wrong flight and they never really recovered from that.
Yeah, because we have seen, based on the worst to first placement here in this episode of Liz and Mike, a turnaround certainly is possible, but they just were right there at the end and they never were able to make up any ground.
I mean, they made up a fair amount of ground. Like, I was thinking they were going to be that team. You know, you have those episodes where you're watching all the action, then you think, oh, there's another team that we haven't seen all day. I wonder where they are. And then in the last 30 seconds of the episode, Phil eliminates them and you never saw them like even being competitive. And at least this time they rolled up to the roadblock and there was a chance that if Shamir had spent just a little bit more time complaining about his balls, they might actually overtake him.
Yes, if only. All right, well, let's go through chronological order, and then I'm sure we'll spend a lot of time on Shamir and Sarah when we get to the window washing task and make a meal out of that. But let's just go through the events leading up to that, so at least we have some context and backstory. So we started off with everybody headed to the airport to go to Sao Paulo, and we get to see a little bit of this theme. You know, we talked a lot on the podcast last week about what was the hashtag for this Shamir and Sarah team, which was going to be very much in the spotlight in this episode. And I mistakenly said, what is this? The Sand Express? What is that?
It turns out, Rob, as many, many, many people told me, apparently they didn't come to you with this. They came to me with this.
Yes.
The hashtag is actually, they are the S&S Express.
Okay.
They're not the Sand Express. They're not the Sands Express. They're not the Sand Sex Press.
Yes.
This is a bad hashtag.
Yes. It is so bad. Motion to rebrand the S&S Express to...
My balls hurt.
Yeah, I second that motion.
Okay, maybe that could be the case. So we got into a little bit of this storyline, this narrative of trouble in paradise. So that we talked about last week that Sarah really wasn't featured very much in the episode. Only a little bit of Shamir we got from talking about what kind of partner he would want. But they were all over this episode, going back to where they were getting into it, that Shamir is a bit of a hothead. And that they don't get the flight that they want. And he's getting angry that the person at the airport is typing too slow. And Sarah is trying to calm him down and he doesn't want to hear it.
Yeah, there was a period of about 2 minutes at the beginning of the episode where he's speaking fluent Spanish. You think he's making a lot of headway. It's looking really good for them. And then it almost immediately all goes to hell.
Yeah, just that. I don't want to do a psychological deep dive on Shamir. I'm not Denise Stapley, but I'm just wondering if all of these things are sort of related. Where was the trauma that Shamir suffered in the episode? Do you think any of it could have been psychosomatic? Because here he is starting off in the episode, hey, I'm the alpha male, I'm taking charge, and that's who I am. In terms of, I didn't hear any other contestants complain about any sort of issues with the harness hurting them in the testicular region. Could there have been any sort of connection to he was having some difficulty with the task and it was manifesting for him as a pain to his genitals.
Ooh, hashtag fragile masculinity.
Don't get me beat up, Jess. He's a hothead. We described it.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, but, you know, he's a super alpha male. That means he has huge balls. Maybe that was his problem.
And there's also the scenario where Shamir has such large testicles. He's so manly. That's why he's the ultimate alpha male hothead. And that's
exactly
also why they didn't fit into the harness.
They didn't have a harness that could accommodate his balls because he has the biggest balls of them all.
Yes.
I think my testicles are swollen. For real.
More on that later. More on that to come.
Rob, there's no way. Like, everything we talk about tonight is just going to keep coming back to balls.
Good.
Just be prepared for that.
Okay. So there's some trouble in paradise with Shamir and Sarah. Meanwhile, the trouble in paradise team from last week, Vank and Ashton, Jess, did they also stop by Denise Stapley for some couples counseling from last week to this week? Because they were like a well-oiled machine now.
Yeah, this completely blew me away. Like, I was so impressed with Vank and Ashton this week. Like, I was thinking they got to be the next people out. They're such a disaster of a team. They're not going to be able to get over the fact that they wouldn't have picked each other. And now, you know, they are real contenders and they look like they're poised to be actual, like, strong characters in the season. I was really, really impressed. And I think what this stems from, this has got to just be they had a common enemy to unite against.
Yo, okay. Well, Matt and Redmond, they looked like they were going to be going lights out this week. And then they ultimately had some problems later on in the episode. But they apparently made this deal with Vank and Ashton that they were both going to work together. And then they were going to flip a coin to decide who was going to sign in first. Jess, does this make any sense to you in terms of teams working together?
This is pretty ridiculous.
Like, I don't even understand what they're doing.
They're saying they're not going to, like, climb all over each other to get that number one spot on the sign up sheet. So it's not going to matter, like, who gets in a cab first, I guess. It's like, we're out in front. The stakes are lower. We can make a little deal. But yeah, it was a stupid deal to make. It doesn't really benefit either one of them.
So, like, what were Matt and Redmond supposed to do? So when they got to the desk to check in for the helipad, that they were just supposed to wait there until Vank and Ashton showed up and then flip the coin with them?
I guess so. Or I think maybe they were assuming that they would all get there at the same time.
What if other teams started to arrive? Were they just have to let other teams pass them? And then when Vank and Ashton get there, then they have to flip a coin? They could possibly be behind either Vank and Ashton?
Well, I think they didn't think it out that far. I assume they had a pretty big lead on everybody else. Like, that was probably the best flight to be on by a mile.
Yeah. It was a hilarious scene, though, as Matt and Redmond were talking about the deal and how stupid it was and how they were never going to honor that deal. Then cut to Vank and Ashton talking about, well, we made this deal. We feel pretty good about it. We're definitely going to honor this deal. And we got to see Matt and Redmond say,
sorry, not sorry.
Sorry, not sorry, Jess. And they would be sorry, not sorry later.
I think they were just sorry later.
Yeah, not that sorry or not sorry.
I think they were third place sorry.
Yeah. So the Swole sisters, that they got off on the wrong foot in this leg and they were never going to be able to come back. What was the issue, Jess? There just weren't enough flights?
Yeah, I think this is one of those things. Like, I was pretty stoked at the beginning of the leg thinking this looks like a throwback to those early seasons of The Amazing Race where everybody had to book their own flights all the time. They weren't, like, spoon fed these super economy seats to get the organization to save some money. And they all have to find their own transportation. People are going to be on lots of different flights. It's going to be part of the equation, which frequently these days it's really not. But the downside of that is that sometimes a bad flight can totally screw up someone's game in a really irreparable way.
Okay, so we got to our detour for this leg. It was keep the beat or work your feet. I thought that the work your feet side of this was more interesting. There were more teams that were doing it. I don't really even understand what keep the beat was about, Jess.
it looked like you basically were given percussion instruments and there were other people playing percussion instruments around you and you had to hold it the right way and move it the right way in time with the what was going on around you.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the other task was like building some sort of prison gym.
Yeah, it was like coffee cans full of cement and old refrigerators. There's a guy. There was a guy punching a refrigerator.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Jess. I know you are a prolific boxer. Have you ever boxed a refrigerator?
I have not because I value my hands.
Yeah, that's a thing at this gym.
Yeah, and I was flipping through the previously.tv forums on this subject, and there were people from Sao Paulo that said they've never seen this gym, and they're not sure it's a real thing.
The Amazing Race made it up?
Who knows? The Amazing Race has made stuff up before.
There's a huge appliance fight scene going on in Sao Paulo that nobody knows about. That I went to a dishwasher versus a garbage disposal one time, and it was intense.
This is the best prequel to Real Steel ever.
That's how it started.
That's how it started.
Now, meanwhile, we saw Team SNS, the SNS Express. They headed off to keep the beat. That's where I think that the frustrations were beginning to boil over for them. Starting with the airport, then they had a hard time, and it was some issues with Sarah in that leg. But that might have really started to make Shamir start to boil over.
Yeah, it seemed to me like they picked the wrong thing.
Yeah, yeah. It did seem like that it was going to be easier to put the gym equipment together. Nobody really was struggling too much with the gym equipment. We didn't see anybody other than when Matt and Redmond couldn't figure out where to put the water.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those challenges. Like the one I'm thinking of specifically is they were in Copenhagen in season 25 where they had to put together that whole little like mini park, and you have one for reference, and then you have like all these little details, and they had to get all the details right. But the details in this one weren't like small and stupid and annoying. It was just like, you have to put this washer here. You have to put this water in this bucket. And I think some teams got some things wrong, but they were not things that made compelling television.
Yeah.
And it didn't really affect the placement, so we didn't really see it.
Okay, so we saw some problems this week for Brooke and Scott, and they were bickering certainly quite a bit in the first leg of the race. I don't understand what happened to Brooke. Jess, could you talk us through how did Brooke fall down and get hurt?
Well, it looked like their cab dropped them kind of in the middle of nowhere, and they had to do a little bit of detective work to figure out where they were supposed to be going. This was upsetting to Brooke.
Yes.
They find the direction they're going to go in. She takes off running. It looks like she might have even just tripped over her own feet. And I don't know about the extent of the injury. Like, you know, they didn't bring the on-site medic around to look at it the way that the on-site medic would come into play later for other injuries by people that we're not talking about yet. But my suspicion is that, I don't know if you have ever, I'm sure you've hit your funny bone semi-impactfully at some point in your life.
Yeah.
If you ever hit that thing really, really hard, it feels like your whole arm is on fire and you can't move it and you haven't really actually done anything wrong to it that's going to damage you forever. But I've done this before, and it, like, intellectually, you know you're going to be fine and you know there's nothing really terribly wrong, but it does cause a pretty distracting sensation.
So,
and I would guess that's what happened.
This won't be too bad for Brooke.
I think she'll be fine by the next time, but I think she was probably out of commission pretty much for the rest of the leg.
Yeah. She was not happy from before that happened. And it looked like she just like tripped over like a crack in the sidewalk to me.
Yeah, it wasn't anything like, I don't think you could point at it and say, you know, you do this one thing differently, you don't fall on your elbow.
Yeah. Just, did you think less of Seth when he needed to go get gloves to work on putting the prison gym together?
No, I think Seth is actually being smart in this instance.
Oh, why? So he doesn't get tetanus?
Yeah, I mean, protect your hands. And like, look how filthy everybody's hands were getting.
Yeah, Vank had some pretty dirty hands.
Yeah, people were getting like, they're covered in like grease and like, who knows what's on that stuff. first of all.
Yeah.
Second of all, that kind of hard manual labor can really, like, if you're not used to it, it can really kill your hands.
Okay. Oh, Jess is a Seth defender.
Hey, he's on my fantasy team.
Yeah. Okay.
He's like the captain of it at this point.
Yeah, because even Olive was sort of like, oh, really? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, well, Olive's a firefighter. She's probably got tougher hands. Yes.
Yeah.
She's got tougher hands than he does.
Okay. So Team Fun, they decided that they were going to keep the beat. And luckily, Floyd did not have nearly as much trouble keeping the beat this week as he did last week when he was rapping.
Yeah, he was a little bit better at this. But, you know, I gotta say, this week's challenges seemed pretty tailor-made for Team Fun. Like, if they hadn't just chosen each other in the previous leg, I would have been calling producer shenanigans on that, because you get a marching band task followed by a rock climbing task. Like, how perfect is that for them?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Jess, I want them to get married.
I do, too. Like, I ship it hard.
Yes. What do we have to do? Is there a petition that we can start? I feel like that if we all get enough signatures, I think, what is it, 5,000 signatures, and then we go on change.org?
I think it's...
And they have to?
I'm not sure. Like, I know how many it is before the executive branch has to respond to it, but I don't know how much...
I also think they changed that.
Yeah, they probably did at this point.
Yeah.
But, I'm not sure how many signatures it is before Floyd and Becca have to make an official response.
Okay.
But I'm sure we can get that many.
All however right. Well, many it is. We will start that up so we can get that petition going. So we have, you know, everybody's putting the gym together. Really, there's nothing too eventful going on there. Brooke has to, you know, she almost gets hurt again by Scott when they're putting the stuff together. But luckily, she's left-handed. Team Lolo was having some trouble with keeping the beat, Jess.
Yeah, well, it seems like if it's not something you're used to doing, it could be difficult.
Yeah. So we had a woman on a bicycle who was holding the clue for the roadblock. Everybody else seemed to find this okay, except for our swole sisters, who got sort of thrown for a loop by Sarah. Again, not a good sign for the swole sisters.
No, but I think that was pretty inspired. Like, if we're giving out strategy awards, I think we got to give one to Sarah in this instance, because she did what she had to do to stay in the game.
Okay, so good job by Sarah to make up for when Shamir was dealing with his issues. She was able to save the day in her own way. So who likes things squeaky clean, Jess? Do you like a squeegee task?
You know, I'm not mad at it.
Yeah, okay. This was fun. I feel like we've seen different variations of cleaning windows. I mean, going back to the Amazing Race finale that Dave and Connor won, we had to, like, go on scaffolding and change a light bulb. But this did seem like there was a degree of difficulty to this.
Yeah, this was better than your typical, like, we're going to put you in a harness and dangle you a million stories above everything. Because not only did you have to do that, but you had to actually clean a window to their satisfaction. And it looked like people actually had the potential to get this wrong. And some of them did get it wrong and have to go back and do it again. And that, to me, is a lot better than the ones that are just like, here is a very adrenaline heavy task and now it's over and it takes everybody exactly the same amount of time, give or take a couple of people like whining at the ledge that they can't do it.
Yeah. And the thing that was really tricky about it that we ended up seeing a couple of times from Shamir was that there was no way to go back up. So if you missed a spot, I think we actually might have seen that with Seth first, that if you miss a spot, then you have to go all the way down and then go, like, you know, rappel back down to that same spot. Like, there's no way to go back up.
Yeah, and I kind of love that, too.
Yeah, because God knows how long that would take. At least another, like, half an hour to get back to, like, oh, I need to go 1 inch higher. So I need to go all the way down and then rappel back down off the roof.
Yeah, yeah. It gives teams the potential to really screw it up.
Yes, and that would happen here on the roadblock. So we got to see a couple of teams just jumping right into it. Ashton, Liz, Seth, Redmond. They all went through it. Seth ended up needing to go back and do it again. But for the most part, this was all pretty uneventful for those teams. We find out that Scott has a debilitating fear of heights, Jess. And this is one of the real classic Amazing Race tropes. Person with fear of heights deals with fear of heights task.
Yeah, but I have to give Scott a lot of credit here because you have a lot of racers that come into the race saying, I have this debilitating fear of heights or water or whatever. And the ones that I have the most respect for are the ones that go into it saying, I hate this. I really don't want to do this, but it is the thing that needs to be done. And I need to confront this fear at some point in my life. So I'm just going to do it and get it over with, even though it's not my favorite thing. And I feel like that's really what Scott did this time.
Yeah, Scott was really good in this episode. You know, he didn't freak out when Brooke was getting upset. He was sort of like calm and steady throughout that whole thing. And then he was able to keep his composure despite his fear of heights during that task. So good job by Scott in all of that.
He didn't even once, like, you know how much the show loves it when the camera like zooms in on somebody saying, I don't think I can do this.
Yeah, we didn't have like one act break on that.
No, we didn't get that. And I think maybe Scott was even consciously thinking, I'm not going to give them that.
Now, last week, we talked a lot about Liz and Mike and what a disaster they were. And they come all the way back from being saved only by a time penalty for Team Long Hair Don't Care. And then they come all the way back for a first place finish. It turns out here that Liz is going to do this task. And she was a paratrooper in the military.
Yeah, that's pretty badass.
Yeah. That's pretty good. So no real concern of heights for Liz, and she's able to really make up a lot of time here.
Yeah, I was so impressed with them this leg. Like, they really, I didn't think much of them either in the beginning, especially after the disastrous performance last week, but they've really turned it around.
Yeah. And there's a little bit of a race to the finish line between Liz and Michael and Vank and Ashton, but Liz and Michael ultimately are going to be the first place team this leg, and they win a trip. Now, this is like sort of like one of those binding things, right? When you win these trips and you have to take it with the person.
I don't think it works that way, Rob.
Oh,
but
you just
it's
get
funnier.
It? You just get it and then you can take it whenever, and then they can also take it whenever.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like
but it's a trip for one then.
It's a trip for two, but you can choose to take it together, or you can let one person take somebody else, which I believe happens a lot with teams that win a lot of trips. They just kind of divvy them up.
Yeah. Well, I bet that'd be some good podcasting if you have a team that doesn't like each other and they want a trip.
Well, think about all those trips that Blair and Haley won.
Yeah. What did they end up doing? You're in the loop, Jess.
I believe they divided them up. I think Blair got a couple and Haley got a couple.
Okay. So fair enough. All right, Jess, you ready to dive into this?
Of course.
Okay. So things were going seemingly well, and we started to hear some complaints. I think we actually first saw Sarah say that Shamir is in a bad mood.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
He was upset, and it turns out that there was an issue going on here with Shamir. So here's what's the problem for Shamir.
I think my testicles are swollen. For real.
For real. He's having an issue with the swollen testicles in the harness.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Although, in fairness, he did go into the task in a bad mood because he had injured his hand somehow playing the drums. He'd managed to hurt his hands so badly they were bleeding. I do not know how he did that, but I also do not know how this harness was such an issue on his poor little dudes.
Yeah. He also said,
my balls hurt. What do you want me to do?
Yeah. So he's in the midst of this whole conversation, and, you know, things are getting like really testy because of everything going on. That, I mean, it seems like there's like almost like some sort of like a medical emergency where he is screaming.
Oh, my God. God. Yo, my testicle is about to rupture. Like, I need your help. I need to get down.
So we almost had a ruptured testicle, Jess, on The Amazing Race. It was almost like that in like some Bond villain type scam. He was hanging literally by his testicles.
Yeah. And, you know, crazier things have happened. I'm sure. But this was, of all the things that I thought would happen, like, how many times have we seen amazing racers in harnesses like that? And how many of those racers have had balls and come out with totally, you know, rupture-free testicular situations?
It was just so odd that nobody else, none of the other men that were doing this, not Seth, not Redman, nobody else mentioned like, ooh, like there was no sort of sympathy pain from any of the other men who did this. So that there is a real question here. Was Shamir being a baby, or was there something wrong with his harness, or does Shamir just have such gigantic balls that they do not fit in the standard issue Amazing Race harness? Where are you leaning?
It could be any of those things, but in order to kind of make my educated guess, I'm going to turn to the reactions of those around him, because it sure seems like anytime someone on any of these shows gets injured to the point of seeking medical attention, people are very serious about it.
Yeah.
Like, even if they turn out to be totally okay and they can go right back to it, people tend to be sympathetic. They kind of figure, I don't know what this other person's going through. I don't know how much pain they're in. It could be very serious. Let's take it seriously. But it seemed to me that there are two people that we need to turn to who did not take this seriously whatsoever. One of them was his partner.
Yes.
And I think the more telling reaction is that of Phil.
Well, starting with Sarah, she was asked to assess what was going on with Shamir, and here is what she thought was the issue.
I think his junk is hurting him right now.
He's got the hurt junk.
Which, yeah, I do love some junk talk.
Yes, which I thought that was the condition of the refrigerator that got beat up earlier in the episode.
Yeah, it's true. Like, the, you know, it's workout equipment made out of junk, and now his junk is getting a workout.
Yes. So, Jess, you brought up Phil. I guess we could fast forward to when Shamir was talking with Phil on the mat. And here was the conversation between Phil and Shamir.
Shamir, you're angry.
Very angry. I was stuck by my balls hanging. Real funny.
Well, I don't know. Have you not worn a harness before? Is that what?
No, I have not.
Even for experienced people doing it, it can happen from time to time.
It was really painful.
I feel like Phil did have some sympathy there for him.
But I think what's missing from this is the look on Phil's face as they're having this conversation. Because Phil, I've never seen Phil more over it.
Yeah.
And this includes many more awkward things. Like, this includes, like, the Globetrotters getting in a shoving match with Sam and Dan. And this includes, like, Jonathan and Victoria. This includes Blair and Haley. And Phil is just over this immediately. Like, he has no tolerance for it.
I want to hear what Phil's initial reaction is again to this.
Shamir, you're angry.
Very angry. I was stuck by my balls hanging. Real funny.
Well.
Well.
I like that the sad music starts up like right after he talks about his balls hanging.
Yeah, he does.
Shamir, you're angry.
Very angry. I was stuck by my balls hanging. Real funny.
Well, I don't know. Have you not worn a harness before? Is that what? Not-
What does Phil say? Well, I don't know.
It feels like, well, you can hear the condescension. Is, have you never worn a harness before? Harnesses do that, guy.
Yeah, even for an experienced person, that you could have your balls stuck. It could happen.
It could happen. And apparently in this case it did.
Shamir, you're angry.
Very angry. I was stuck by my balls hanging.
Real funny. Like he's like mad at Phil. Like, yeah.
Yeah, well, and yeah, that
laugh it up, Phil. Yeah.
That
my
lends
balls.
Credence to the fact.
By my balls. I was hanging on a window by my balls. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And that lends credence to the idea that Phil is completely over this, because there's no sympathy there. And no wonder Shamir is upset about this. He's like, you know, Phil has balls. Phil understands balls.
Yeah. How would you like it?
Yeah, it's real funny.
How would you like it if somebody hung you out by your balls on a window on a harness and left you there?
And Phil's thinking, it's happened to me before, bro.
Whoa, it has?
I'm sure it has. Phil spends a lot of time in harnesses.
The experienced harness person that this has happened to?
Phil has done a lot of crazy stuff in his life.
Shamir, you're angry.
Very angry. I was stuck by my balls hanging. Real funny.
Well, I don't know. Have you?
Well, I don't know.
I guess he doesn't know. Now, Justin, we didn't even talk about that Shamir punched out the very window he was supposed to be cleaning. Should this not have been some sort of a time penalty?
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised because it seems to me that when teams like wreck their car, for instance, they end up being assessed some sort of penalty. And we haven't seen a lot of racers getting so frustrated that they destroy property, but it also, it's entirely possible that this wasn't his fault somehow.
Yeah. It just seems crazy that your job is to take a window and to clean it. And then I guess because that he was so in such pain that they looked the other way on it. But I felt like that the episode really went a long way to say that this was exaggerated. And I think that my smoking gun here is when there you had this at the point, I think it was when Sarah was talking about how, I don't know, like, I guess he hurt his junk or something. And like, she's sort of like condescending here.
I think his junk is hurting him right now.
And they showed him like dancing, going up into the elevator.
Yeah, I think the show is at least going out of their way to present him as somebody that really wasn't in any sort of life-threatening ball situation.
Yes. Jess, let's talk about the emergency response that was given when Shamir got whisked off by medical crew for The Amazing Race. And so they took him into a van and they closed the van door. And the Amazing Race doctor had to check out Shamir.
And the Amazing Race doctor probably doesn't have a whole lot to do on most legs.
Yeah.
It's probably a pretty cushy gig most of the time. You could just kind of hang out and like play Candy Crush and wait for somebody to like skin their knee. This was a very different crush.
Yeah. And so I guess that everything checked out.
Yeah. He's like, all of a sudden you're forced to look at some balls when you thought you were just going to have an easy day of like drinking Brazilian coffee, eating at the good McDonald's. And now you got to look at balls.
Yeah. And the doctors confirmed no ruptured testicle on this leg of the Amazing Race.
If Shamir wants to be a father someday, he still can.
Seems like everything is going to be okay. All right. So there were other teams still in the race at this point. Teams did head to the mat. Matt and Redmond came in third, and Redmond was ready with a joke. Just did this land?
It only landed because it kind of came back around because it was so bad. It was good.
It was so bad. It was good. And he said that he thought that they were going to win the second leg. And then he was going to say to Phil, great, because I need the second leg now.
Yeah, and you could tell he spent the entire flight thinking about that.
Yeah, and Phil was not amused. I think Phil might have been more amused by Shamir talking about his balls.
Shamir, you're angry.
Very angry. I was stuck by my balls hanging.
Yeah. So then we would get to the point where there'd be like a real pile up coming up at the mat between Seth and Olive, Becca and Floyd, Brooke and Scott, Tara and Joey, and Team Lolo.
Yeah, that sounds like a party. And I really kind of hate it when that many teams are clustered that close together, because that says to me that the leg was easy enough that it took everybody the same amount of time to do stuff. But thankfully, we had some interesting things happening on either end of that.
Yeah. We had a little bit of drama where the Swole sisters got there and Sarah was frustrated. Luckily, she was able to throw them off the scent a little bit, as we mentioned, with finding the clue from the girl on the bicycle. But, you know, Sarah was able to do nothing except just wait and for Shamir to get his ball situation figured out.
Yeah, he had to sort his balls.
Yes, and he got everything straightened out. They head to the finish. We have that conversation at the mat. But it goes on from there because Sarah has a bit of a breakdown there. And to me, I thought this was very powerful, where I think that the appeal of the Perfect Stranger season, I think, was on full display, not unlike Shamir's testicles in the van with the doctor, because she was like breaking down crying. She's like, what am I doing? Like, I'm with this lunatic. She's having like a bit of a catharsis there.
And I expected at least one racer was going to have this kind of reaction to being paired with a perfect stranger and it not being the perfect stranger they hoped for. I didn't think it was going to be this team.
Yeah, they looked like that they were going to hit it off. Could have been a love connection, possibly. But it looks like that's out the window, right?
Yeah, I mean, Shamir looked so good on paper.
Yeah.
Everybody agreed. Like when we did our cast preview, we all thought Shamir was, you know, he was at the top of all of our lists. He looked like he was smart and fit, and he seemed like he watched the show a lot. And then he
alpha
comes out
male,
here,
large gonads.
Yeah, he comes out here, and it turns out that he doesn't even know how to harness.
Yeah. So, yeah, that should be a thing. If, you know, there's more Amazing Race, we got to think about, like, well, do you think that this guy has a lot of junk that may or may not fit into any apparatus that they have to, or a costume maybe even?
Or maybe this is something that needs to go on your packing list.
Yes.
Like, maybe you need to include a cup.
Yes. I guess it's packing in a variety of different ways.
Yeah, you see what I did there.
Yeah, I see it. I see it. All right. So ultimately, we have the Swole sisters. They finally check in. They are the last team to arrive.
Disappointing. I liked them a lot. I thought they had a lot of potential as a team.
Yeah. Phil really put them on the spot. Like, so friends for life? Like, geez, Phil, we only met each other like 48 hours ago, but I guess so.
He had this problem with the blind date season, too.
Yeah. I mean, like, are you guys going to stay friends? I think is a perfectly legitimate question. But friends for life? I mean, that's tough.
I mean, life? That's a lot of time.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's all these different people, you know, you went through 4 years of high school with and you never talked to again. I mean, you were on the Amazing Race with somebody for 3 days. I mean, there's a lot of like real Amazing Race teams that are not friends for life after doing the Amazing Race.
That is very, very true.
Yeah. How many of them, Jess, you go to these events and you're like, oh, where's the other person? Like, oh, I haven't talked to that guy in years.
Yeah. I mean, I've shown up to Tarkon before and had like one half of a couple them talking to, and then you immediately get the sense that they don't want to talk about where the other half of the couple is.
Yep. That's a thing. All right. But Jess, all in all, felt like this was a pretty fun second leg of the Amazing Race. I think we're off to a great start here in Amazing Race Perfect Strangers.
Yeah, I had a ball.
Okay. Yes. Good one. All right. So let's get into some of the questions that we got here from the listeners. Of course, you can email us amazingrace@robiswebsite.com. These are also questions from the Rob is a Podcast patron group. And Brendan Fitzpatrick wants to know, how awesome is Team Fun? No matter what place they're in, they're super positive. Do you think that they can keep this fun meter cranked up all the way to 11 the entire season? Jess, the over-under for fights between Team Fun is 0.1. Are you over or under?
I'm under it.
Under!
I can't see these two fighting for any reason.
Ever?
Ever.
Okay.
They're my OTP.
Everything is so good right now. It's such a honeymoon. But a week into this, 2 weeks, can any two people keep it up for this long?
They can go the distance.
Yeah.
Honestly, the dynamic that I see between Team Fun reminds me of nothing more than Amy and Maya. And you know how it worked out for Amy and Maya.
Yeah. No, they did. They were pretty fun. I do feel like that they had some moments of adversity, but I don't think they ever turned on each other.
No, they never did.
Yes. There were moments when Amy turned on me when I met her in person a couple of times and she really chewed me out, but never on Maya, which is important.
Yeah, that's important. Like, and again, you can be a united front against an enemy.
Yeah. Okay. Amy Thompson wants to know, Rob, have you ever been rappel harnessed? And if so, can you comment on the impact of said harness on one's testicles? I am trying to think if I have ever been in anything like that. I don't think I've ever done any sort of rappelling or bungee jumping or even mountain climbing like that. So I really can't speak to it. If I ever end up in said situation, I will weigh in. But yeah, I don't really have anything to speak of like that. Rode a horse one time.
Was that on your trip after All Stars?
Yes. Also in South America. So, there was chafing there on that.
Yeah. And I've done some of these things, but I don't have any balls, so I can't tell you.
Yeah. Jess, Byron wants to know, which was worse, Shamir's testicular rapture or the trapezoid injury from Hunted? Jess, did you watch Hunted?
I did not watch Hunted.
Yes.
I have a small child.
There was a terrible trapezoid injury.
I don't know if Troy's sore, but my legs are sore. My arms are sore. My trapezoids are sore.
Yeah.
I thought a trapezoid is a geometric shape.
My balls hurt. What do you want me to do?
What do you want me to do?
Well, balls are also a geometric shape.
Yeah. Yeah. The sphere. Sure. So let's take another question. This is from Amber, who says, do you think that the betrayal of hashtag the boys unified Vank and Ashton and made them a better team? Jess, it sounds like you do think that.
I do think that. I think they had nothing in common up to that point. And then at that point, they had something very big in common.
Yeah. Yes. Much like Shamir.
Yes. Much like Shamir.
Our own Mike Bloom wants to know, should Shamir have to pay for that window that he smashed in the roadblock?
I think maybe they decided that he had suffered enough.
Yeah, I think so. I think that if he just smashed the window in a fit of anger, I mean, is it possible that I'd have to go back and take a look. Was he screaming about the rupture before he punched the window?
I think the rupture happened prior to punching the window, but I don't know if he punched the window out of testicular frustration.
Yeah, because if he punched the window first, maybe he had to like really ham it up then at that point.
That's possible.
He was going to be in trouble.
He had to like go, you know, he is in Brazil. He could go full like World Cup soccer injury on that.
Yeah. PJ wants to know, how likely do you think that the problem between the boys and Vankton and Ashton will leak over into next week's U-turn?
I think on both of these teams, at least one member of each team is a big enough fan of the show to know that you never use the U-turn out of spite.
Okay. Especially in a season with three U-turns, Jess. You would really advise against that?
I would really advise against that. I think clearer heads will prevail, but I think we're going to see a lot of them talking about it at least. And then, you know, you get that sanctimonious shot where they're standing in front of the U-turn board going, we choose not to U-turn anyone. We don't need it. We're better than that.
Okay. Brian wants to know, has there ever been more than six separate flights on one leg? It seemed like a lot more than normal. I could be wrong.
I think six might be the record. That seems like quite a lot.
That does sound like a lot of flights. I mean, I feel like that in recent seasons, we've only seen like two flights and maybe a third.
Yeah. And I think even in the earlier seasons, you would see no more than like four.
Mm-hmm. All right. Joel Hooper wants to know, do you think that casting all strangers with no mutual ties has added more to the camaraderie at the mat? They all seem so friendly with each other. Lots more mingling at the mat because everybody is a stranger. Do you think that the teams are more friendly with one another?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting thought because I think the temptation is kind of great. If you're there with somebody you're really close to, you guys kind of function as a unit. And here there's going to be a lot more mingling because you know you've known everybody for the exact same amount of time. So I think there is going to be a lot more potential for people to kind of form coalitions and cliques and relate to people differently.
Okay. And then finally, Jim Rosario wants to know, do you think that the relationship dynamics encourage individual players to really step it up? A few of them are relying on their partner to pull through. Do you think that a couple of people are just allowing their partner to do everything?
Well, we did have Brooke say in her pregame interview that she hoped that she'd have a partner that would be able to hold her back sometimes. But yeah. Then on the other hand, you have somebody like Sarah who's going to give 200%
because she realizes holding his package all the time.
Yeah, because she realizes she's going to have to sack up for both of them now.
My balls hurt. What do you want me to do?
Yeah. What do you want me to do? Yeah, that's... Look, I think that it's probably like, you know, a good excuse you could use in any area of your life. Like, hey, what happened there? Where are those reports, Shamir?
My balls hurt. What do you want me to do?
Yeah.
I'm reminded of the favorite television program in the movie Idiocracy. I believe it was just called Ow My Balls.
Yeah. And then if somebody like gives you any sort of like snickering, then you just follow it up with
Shamir, you're angry.
Very angry. I'm stuck by my balls hanging. Real funny.
Well,
real funny. Laugh. My balls hurt and you're laughing. Like you could really like make the other person feel stupid.
You really could.
Yeah. So it's pretty good.
I'm stuck by my balls hanging.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to try that later and see if it gets me out of doing anything around my house. Okay. All right, Jess. Fun stuff. What's the hashtag, dare I ask?
God. I think the hashtag has to be something about balls.
Yes. Or hurt junk.
Hurt junk, I think, is the winner. Yes.
I think his junk is hurting him right now.
Hashtag hurt junk.
Hashtag hurt junk.
And again, we're referring to the refrigerator that was beat up at that gym.
That poor refrigerator.
That poor cement-filled milk carton, which was just getting slammed to the ground over and over again.
Yeah, and you know, that milk carton was not like, what do you want me to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was not. Jess, then in terms of where the race is going next week, are we staying in Brazil?
Looks like we're going to Zanzibar.
Zanzibar. Oh, I like that song.
Exactly like that song.
Yeah. So, all right, we will see. What is Zanzibar still in Brazil?
No.
Okay, where is that?
It's off the coast of Africa.
Oh, okay. So really, have we upped the budget for the Perfect Strangers Amazing Race?
Well, I don't know if we've upped the budget so much as I think... this might be one of those legs they saved a little money on so they could splash out on the future one.
Yeah, because Jess, it has been over these last couple of seasons where to take a flight, we've gotten like at least two legs in almost every destination.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, last season was not so bad at this,
okay.
But it has been the trend recently.
I will also add that the Amazing Race did win its time slot again, Jess, although I believe it was like just under 4 million people watched the show, but it was number one on the broadcast network. So, Jess, are you feeling bullish based on Amazing Race winning its time slot 2 weeks in a row about more Amazing Race in the future?
You know, I think we're not going to necessarily get it right away.
Okay.
But... it might not be totally dead. And that is a big plus. I was not expecting that.
Okay. So kudos to the Amazing Race, winner of its time slot 2 weeks in a row. Maybe Thursdays at 10 is the ultimate solution for them.
God, I hope not. I'm just getting older and older.
Yeah.
Staying up late is hard.
It is hard. It is tough. Okay. Jess, anyway, great stuff. If you haven't heard Jessica Lease on the Survivor voicemail show, and it's very possible that you haven't because I still haven't posted it yet at time of recording, you should definitely check that out on Rob Has a Podcast. Of course, we will be back with more Amazing Race recapping after leg number 3 next week here on the Amazing Race podcast feed at robhasawebsite.com/TAR podcast or on our Rehapups feed at robiswebsite.com/Rehapups. Jess, anything else you want to tell people to check out?
No, I think that's a lot of stuff to check out. I don't want to overload them.
All right. Well, fun stuff all around. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre for putting this all together in the podcast version. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.